Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this day, this beautiful Sabbath day. Lord, we ask that you allow your words to fall on our hearts, to lift us up. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. This is the last Sabbath of the year. And what a year it has been. We've lost many a loved one, and yet we are still here. Our scripture reading this morning was read from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. I will be reading it from the NIV version. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. I'm glad you decided to accept the invitation to join us today. We need to inform you of some intel we received. We won't keep you long, because if you have not yet encountered the enemy, they may soon be at your doorstep. Our ranks have been hit very hard. There are openings that must be filled quickly. Mighty men and of women and women of valor have mercifully been laid to rest. Our recruiting officers are working harder than ever, but are running into new challenges in this virtual world. The war rages on. We've called both the experienced and the unsuspecting in order to prepare you for the upcoming battles. We want to reassure you that you are backed by the greatest tactical minds. You will have at your disposal the finest weapons and gear, tested, tried, and proven. Part of your training is reading the historical records of battles of the past. This will remind the experienced and inform those who are newly received of the capabilities and possibilities of those who stand with you. When you review the Battle of Jericho, you will read of our great tactical leader whose plan of entry and capture still stands as one of the most astonishing victories in history. Joshua 6, the intel said that the city was impenetrable. Verse 1 says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in." As the leaders discussed their strategies, the most excellent of all tacticians gave them the plan of victory in Joshua 6, 2. "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor.'" Joshua assembled the people according to the plan. He told the people to walk in silence. So they followed the seven priests. The army of Jericho watched as the Israelites approached. They watched as they walked around the city and back off into the distance. They probably laughed and celebrated their battleless victory. There were probably some folk among the Israelites that lacked understanding of what was to be. So this is what we're doing? We walking? We already know we can't get in, but we walking. Early on the second day, they assembled and quietly walked to the city. The army of Jericho rushed to their positions. They watched as the assembly of God's people circled the city and walked away in the direction it came. This time they wondered if the people were up to something. Those folk were at it again. If I wanted to get up early in the morning and go for a long walk, I would. Day three. Day four. By day five, the army of Jericho was fascinated at the ludicrous behavior of the Israelites. There is no way in. But those folk are not fascinated. Joshua is insane. Why do you say that? Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. His plan is foolish and flawed. It's not his plan. It's the Lord's plan. Okay, in the morning then. Day six, the same. Day seven, the assembly of God's people marched toward Jericho. They marched around the city and then around again. And then again. Inside the walled-up city, they became a little concerned. At the completion of the seventh time, the priests blew their ram's horns, and the assembly shouted, and the walls crumbled and fell. In the many battles of Joshua as the leader of the Israelites, his faith, his trust in God, and his obedience to him proved to be invaluable. As officers and leaders, we must rely on the Lord to guide us in our endeavors. In Judges 7 of the historical records, we find Jerubbaal, known mostly as Gideon. He was chosen by God. He would lead the people into battle with the Midianites. As the Israelites were encamped by the well of Herod, with Midianites to the north of them, God told Gideon, "You have too many, 32,000 people with you, for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest they take credit for themselves." Gideon was told to tell the people that if they were fearful and afraid, they could return home. 22,000 people left and went home. Gideon was left with just 10,000 to fight. God is a masterful strategist. 10,000 fearless soldiers is better. But God spoke again, saying, "You still have too many. Lead them to the water, and I will try them there for you. Who I say will go with thee, will go with thee. Who I say will not go with thee, will not go with thee." So Joshua led them to the water and let them drink. He was told to separate those who lapped the water like a dog from those who used their hand. The split was 9,700 lapped like a dog. 300 used their hand. So 9,700 soldiers were sent to their tents. God is a masterful strategist. Gideon had 300 soldiers that God would use to be victorious. With trumpets and empty pitchers of clay and a light, they confused their enemy so that they rose and fought among themselves while others fled. The other 9,700 were called to overtake those who fled. God is a masterful strategist. He's more than able to guide you through your tests and trials of the new year. He'll place in your path people who will assist you to achieve your goals in your chosen department. Imagine what else he could do with Gideon's few. 1 Samuel 17 tells the story of the battle that took place in the Valley of Elah. The army of God encamped on one hillside and the Philistines on another. The men of war were ready and anxious for battle until there appeared in the valley a massive figure. He said his name was Goliath, and he was the champion of the Philistines. He was challenging the men of war to send a representative to fight him. Easy terms. The loser would make his nation slaves to the other. There were no volunteers from among the ranks of the army of God. Goliath was fit for battle. He stood nearly 10 feet tall. His helmet and armor were made of bronze and weighed about 126 pounds. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze spear. The spearhead weighed 15 pounds. He had a shield bearer who walked ahead of him. He stood in the valley and called out to the army of God for 40 days. Why bother using your whole army? Am I not Philistine enough for you? Pick your best fighter and pit him against me. Give me a man and let us fight it out together. But no one stepped forward to fight. Then came a kid named David, fresh from the fields, watching his father's sheep. He thought he would see the battle today, but what he saw disgusted him. The army of God fought with the Philistines until this behemoth stepped forward. It was then that they fled. He found it disturbing that no one volunteered to fight this heathen. He questioned what would be done for the man who killed this abomination. Word got to the king that someone might be willing to face the giant in battle. But David faced opposition from his brother. Everyone thought the task was too great. They thought that David was ill prepared. Even the king thought him to be too young and without experience. So David shared his experiences in guarding the sheep and how he defeated a bear and a lion while attending his father's sheep. In verse 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." So the king gave David his battle armor to wear. It looked nice, nice and shiny. But David could not maneuver in it. It was too large. It was too gangly. It was heavy. He had never worn armor of this type before. But David decided to wear the body armor of God. Though no one could see it, he placed on his head the helmet of salvation. Having been saved from beasts before, his faith was strong and unfailing. It was his shield. Around his loins, he was girded with the belt of truth that he served the one true God. He had on the breastplate of righteousness. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard, pray long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. We are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to cry. We have to hold up the blood-stained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. Be prepared. Here comes the enemy. Get dressed. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful, Lord, that you have chosen us to serve in your army. We pray, Lord, that you equipped us with all that we need to do your work. This is our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.